Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Paddock Project. We are here with an Azerbaijan, I'm going to say Baku Grand Prix preview because I'm going to get twisted up saying Azerbaijan a million times. But we're two-thirds of the way through the season now. The European leg is over. We're heading into the back half or back third of the season. So right now we'll have our doubleheader in Baku and then we'll head over to Singapore. So lots to talk about, and reminder to please, please rate and review and share the podcast. We love sharing it with all of our friends and having this amazing community. So if you're enjoying the podcast, definitely rate and review us and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. With that, I'm Chessa.
And I'm Tiggy. All right, Baku, the Baku City Circuit. Yes, it is a street circuit. It's typically one of the more exciting races on the calendar. Lots of drama and fun moments usually. We have 51 laps, 6 kilometers, two DRS zones, 20 turns. Charles does hold the lap record from 2019. Last year, this race was much earlier in the season, and it was actually the first time a sprint race was being held on a street circuit. So it was a little bit controversial given how error-prone these drivers can be on a tight, windy circuit that can have a lot of bumps. Last year, Christian said that it was absolutely ludicrous to be doing a sprint race here, but from a fan point of view, it was probably going to be one of the most exciting sprint races of the year. That said, we will not be having a sprint race this year. I guess they took the feedback and moved on. But it is a fast track, super long straights. 3 cars can run side by side on the main straight into turn 1. So it's going to be a fun weekend.
Yes. And generally it's a low deg circuit. It's pretty tricky. Lots of windy corners, but long straights. In terms of some background, this is such a beautiful circuit. It's going through the old city. There's literally castles. You can see it's the coolest backdrop. It's one of my favorite races to watch. They had their first GP in 2016. It's one of the newer street circuits on the calendar, and it's actually much more suited because of that. It's much more suited to today's modern car versus like Monaco, which is super narrow and more suited to, you know, the old historic F1 cars. And before Jeddah, it was the fastest street circuit in the world. And like I said, the castle, this whole area is a World Heritage Site protected by UNESCO. So it's very, very beautiful. And it was designed to sort of highlight all these amazing landmarks in the city.
So for the last race, like we said, it was a sprint last year. So this quali, I guess starting with that, had a few exciting moments. In Q3, Charles and Max had the same time for the first run, which was the first time in F1 history since they measured to 3 decimal places. I remember all of us freaking out when those numbers flashed up. We were like, how in the world is that possible?
Crazy.
In the end, though, Charles did get pole for the third year in a row, only 0.2 of a second over Max. For the sprint shootout, Charles also came P1. And then in the sprint, we did have a nice little switch up with Checo playing Master of Defense to win the King of the Streets. So I should have saved my Checo hot take for this race.
Can.
I guess I can still
the
go night,
the day. The week is still young.
The week is still young. Charles in P2 and Max in P3 for the sprint. For the race itself, Charles lost his lead within 6 laps, Checo and Max flying back, kind of showing how strong the Red Bull was at that point. And then on lap 10, there was a safety car that switched things up a bit, helped a few drivers get lucky and others not so much, as usually does happen with a safety car with pit strategies. But in the end, we saw Checo battle it out to win this race. Max was in P2, Charles in P3, getting his first podium of the 2023 season. So damn, Checo glory days.
Well, hopefully, I mean, I'm sure Checo is going to want to pull something out of the hat this weekend. He's probably been wanting to pull something out of the hat every weekend, but this weekend in particular. So with that, let's go team by team, and we will start with Red Bull. So I think we just said Checo is going to want to be repeating his amazing performance from last year, but I think for the team overall, it kind of feels like I'm just waiting with bated breath to see if they can have a turn in form and finally figure out what's been going on after definitely the past few races that have been pretty rough. Both drivers, Max and Checo, have been struggling to get what they need out of the car. Overall, it's been very unpredictable. You can sense their frustration over the radios. I think the team is a little bit hopeful, though, that they had extra time between Monza and Baku with the off week, that they've had enough time to look deeper into what could be going wrong for them. I think Max said something like, I hope they're turning the car upside down and inside out to try to figure out what's going on and just generally trying to improve their performance on the street circuit. So I think this weekend might be tough for them. Street circuits haven't always been their best, except for maybe Checo's general outperformance here. So lots to think about, and let's see if they're going to improve at all.
This is what I'm going to be looking at most, I think, this weekend. It's always a bad sign when your driver's saying that you have to turn the car inside out because upside down. That's a very difficult thing to do.
And the team overall has kind of been, what's the opposite of sandbagging? Kind of like setting expectations and being like, don't get too excited yet, sort of thing.
Yeah. For Ferrari, they are right in the mix for the constructors' battle, only 31 points behind McLaren there in P3. With McLaren's recent surge of dominance, we could see Red Bull drop down and a battle ensue between Red Bull and Ferrari for P2. We talked about this last episode. Do we think they could pull off a massive comeback and even fight for P1? Is that possible?
We talked about this in the last episode, and I think P2 is like kind of grasping a little bit. P1, all the news this week has been talking about how Ferrari's going to make this epic comeback and they are actually in the mix for P1. Guys, we're in the last third of the season. I don't think that's going to be happening. But P2, yeah, I'm here for it. Like, let's get a spicy little battle. I mean, it will be my dream heading into the final race of the season to have a three-way battle for the championship. But I think realistically, McLaren could be in P1 by the end of the season, and then we will have a nice little fight between Ferrari and McLaren, Ferrari and Red Bull, if things go as they're going. Tiggy, yeah. You look skeptical.
I almost want Ferrari to do super well, and I say almost because I do feel like McLaren deserves it, but I would be really nice to head into the end of the season with Lewis feeling good about going to Ferrari and being either P1 or P2. I do feel like it's a tall order for Ferrari to be P1, just given the consistency that they seem to lack. But it's certainly anything is possible at this stage still. I would say it seems very far away in my mind, but it's possible. But so after a rough time with their underperforming upgrade in Spain, they've come back strong toward the back half of the season, several back-to-back podiums. So we'll see what they can pull out. The team has also traditionally done well in Baku. Charles has been on pole here in each of the past 3 years, including both the sprint and the race last year. So hopefully some good vibes heading in. They did bring a new floor to Monza, so they'll be looking to test it again under different conditions, street circuit, a little windier, long straights as well. So we'll see.
Excited. So speaking of Mercedes, like you mentioned, Tiggy, I think the team has been struggling. As we know, they've had a pretty big drop in performance, and Baku's going to be challenging for them again. They're one of those teams that have kind of been setting expectations and saying it's going to be challenging. Generally, in the past, though, it has been a good track for them, but their trackside engineering director said that even that won't sort of work in their favor, just given how big the general performance gaps are to the other top three teams. So not that they're playing catch up. I mean, they're definitely nowhere near in the world of, you know, P3. I think they have 200 and something points. Everyone else in the top above them has 400 and something points. So I think they're solidly in P4, but just want to keep learning and performing.
Yeah, this may be my bias speaking, but I wouldn't say that they've been like struggling with a huge drop in performance. They've had some bad luck. Like Lewis, I think, put the performance in the last race on him, like with his quality.
Yeah, that's fair.
Do super well. And then obviously we had the bad luck with George getting disqualified for the car being underweight. But I would actually say Mercedes is doing pretty well at this point in the season. Yeah, I don't think they're going to catch up to the top three in terms of points at this stage, but I would say they're feeling probably pretty good.
It's so hard, you're right, to compare, because like the McLaren surge is kind of not unheard of, but it's sort of a whole nother level. And so when teams are just making steady improvements step by step, it can seem like it's nothing compared to, for example, what McLaren has done in the past. You know,
yeah, I just feel grateful that Mercedes is no longer saying like, we have no idea what's going on with our car. Everything is like, and nothing is working. The balance is off. So I guess maybe that's just making me feel better about it, but now it's just on the driver's shoulders to perform. So for McLaren, speaking of, they are the team to beat. They're only 8 points behind Red Bull and constructors. So could very well see them take the lead this weekend. Even we'll see how Checo does again, hopefully a strong weekend for him. But the big thing for McLaren that we will continue to see play out is the topic of team orders, or shall we say papaya rules. So the question here, I think, is will the team start prioritizing Lando as the driver's championship battle could heat up? He's only 62 points behind Max. And when he was asked about this, he said, "I'm not here just to beg for someone to let me pass," which is interesting. So will we see team orders play out this weekend and beyond?
So in my mind, it's sort of like team orders versus papaya rules, because my sense that I got from papaya rules, obviously team orders is probably baked into that. But to me, papaya rules feels like rules of engagement on how to race your teammate in a way that, you know, benefits the full team and is also safe, et cetera, but also allows you to fight. So I think we will shortly see team orders supersede papaya rules. I could see it happen as soon as this weekend. I do think this weekend will be the decider. Like, if Red Bull makes a massive comeback in performance and the driver championship just doesn't seem feasible anymore for Lando, I think we'll fall back on papaya rules, let these teammates fight it out, et cetera, because I do think that generally speaking so far, they've done well together to scoop up enough points to help them in constructors. But if this weekend we see Red Bull really fall behind and continue this trajectory whereby Lando's driver championship becomes more feasible, then team orders, I think, will definitely be in place. I think it would be silly not to, because now you can start to prioritize both championships.
Yeah, it's really hard to say. I could also see McLaren really just letting them fight at the, I don't know. I don't know if that's the right call, but I sort of hear Lando and being like, I'm not just going to beg to have someone let me pass. Like, I don't know. I think a lot of people may disagree with this, and people have, like, people have messaged us being like, I disagree with what you're saying, but I sort of think Lando has to earn it. Like, I don't know. I feel like if he's getting passed by Oscar on the first lap, what's the team supposed to do with that? You know, I don't know. I think that's probably an unpopular opinion, but I think Lando has to be driving at the caliber of a world champion consistently. Yeah. And yes, the team should help him and Oscar should help him do that. I'm not saying Oscar should be kind of fighting tooth and nail at every corner, but at the same time, like,
okay, but
they're both going to be world champions one day, I think, or at least like have the caliber to do so.
My thing is that in Formula One, if you are the number one driver, you know that you are the number one driver. And since when are you too proud for team orders? Like, it seems like Lando's too proud to and I've never seen drivers be too proud. Like, and if anything, they're like, team orders, let's do it. Like, I deserve this if you're the number one driver. But maybe because they're so close in performance, he doesn't want, he feels like, not like ashamed, but like he needs to prove it, like you said.
Yeah, come on, Lando. Just own it. Ask for it. Beg for it.
We're in therapy session in order.
Yeah, I don't know. It still feels hard to picture Lando as the driver's champion this year. I think there's a stat that he has to beat Max by 8 points every race or something, which feels like a lot given the kind of driver that Max is. But it's still in the realm of possibilities. So to play devil's advocate with myself, if you're McLaren, you would probably want to try to do everything you can to make that happen. But at the same time, if doing that puts constructors at risk either this season or next season in creating bad blood between drivers, it's a delicate balance. I think it really is. And so I don't envy the job they're doing, but I hope that they figure it out. And they've had lots of conversations behind closed doors.
I'm sure they have. Okay, friends, today we're talking about sleep and specifically getting better sleep. If you can relate to having trouble falling asleep and staying asleep and getting good quality sleep, then listen up. We are so excited to share a new product we've been using from Beam, their Dream Powder. Our listeners will get a special discount on this Dream Powder. It's a science-backed, healthy hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. It tastes insane. I did it last night and I woke up this Monday morning feeling incredibly refreshed. I gave it to my little sister and she loved it too. They also have amazing flavors, sea salt caramel, brownie batter, vanilla chai, and then of course the original flavor, cinnamon cocoa. It's been tested for high quality efficacy and formulated to ease your body into rest, supporting all four stages of the sleep cycle to help you stay asleep longer and fall asleep faster. Other sleep aids can cause next day grogginess, but Dream contains a powerful all natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. If you want to try the best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/powder Paddock Project and use code Paddock Project at checkout. That's shop BEAM.com/Paddock Project and use code Paddock Project for up to 40% off. Like most people, we love a great deal, but what we don't love is jumping through a million hoops just to end up saving a few dollars, especially when it comes to wireless plans. There's so many promos and offers out there, but they do really make it hard to get good quality savings. With Mint Mobile, it really is so easy though. For just $15 a month, you can get a wireless plan when you get a 3-month plan. And the website and activation process are so seamless. Honestly, the longest part of this process is going to be the time that you spend on hold trying to break up with your old provider. To get started, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. There you can see that right now all 3-month plans are only $15 a month, including the unlimited plan. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan, and you can bring your old phone number along with all of your existing contacts. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. That's mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions may apply. We have been very busy lately and have been really trying to do everything we can to feel our best as we wind up the summer and head into a very busy fall. And one thing we've been doing to help us and support us is using our Happy Mammoth products, especially Estro Control. It helps to support our hormones and alleviate any of those pesky PMS symptoms, including bloating. And it also assists in maintaining cognitive health and promoting liver function and digestive health. Happy Mammoth also has the amazing Hormone Harmony supplement dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women, and they make no compromise when it comes to quality. For a limited time, get 15% off your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning F1 championships is sometimes also what you need to keep your car running day in and day out. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the next team, Aston Martin. Okay, big news here has finally dropped RE Adrian Newey. And like we suspected, he will be heading to the team on a long-term deal. So he is one of the most renowned F1 car designers in history. I think they're calling him like the most prized possession, most expensive man in F1 at the moment. He'll be taking the role of managing technical partner, has also become a shareholder in the team, and just is generally looking like he's going to have a bright future ahead of him at Aston Martin. He's starting in March 2025. He'll be leading the team's car development. And I think generally everyone is very, very excited that this news has finally dropped, albeit later than a lot of us expected. And I'm forgetting now who said it, but there was comments this week that in a Newey car, Lance Stroll could be a world champion. And I like balked. But what do you think?
Well, first, my thoughts on Adrian Newey. I think it is so cool to see this amount of hype and this amount of respect and deference for someone who's not a driver. I think that's so rare in this sport. And I think it's so good for the sport to showcase how important engineering is for the sport and how crucial that can be in drivers and constructors' championships. I think Ruth Buscombe had a post that was saying something along those lines. She herself is an engineer, being like, it's so inspiring for me and it's inspiring for others that this is getting as much attention as it is. And I do think it's completely well-deserved.
100%.
The salary thing is crazy. We had a poll, I think the $100 million question of, is that too much? Because that's basically what Max and Lewis make combined. And you guys were pretty split on that. Like, that seems too much, but also he's worth it. So I thought that
was, in my mind, it's an absurd number, but why the hell not? I mean, he's a he's a genius. So give him what he deserves.
Crazy, like per week, per hour, per minute stats.
Oh,
like
I actually
every month or no, every week he makes like 625,000 pounds. And then every day he makes 90,000 pounds. Every hour, like almost 4,000 pounds. It's insane. But anyway, in terms of the world champion question, I would almost flip that question on its head. Like, can Aston Martin win a championship with Lance Stroll in the car?
That's my point, is Lance Stroll world driver championship material, even if the car is incredible.
Not drivers. I think constructors is in play, but you see how it is with Checo right now. Like, and I think Checo's a better driver than Lance Stroll, and Red Bull's going to struggle to keep constructors with Checo performing at the level he is when he's coming in P6 through P8. Like, even in an amazing car, can Lance Stroll do that? I just feel like there was one comment that someone made of Lawrence Stroll will pull out all the stops, all the money, all the facilities, all the resources, everything. But will he be too proud to do that for drivers and like replace Lance Stroll basically? And I don't know the answer to that question.
Only time will tell.
I don't know. I think it feels far-fetched to see Lance Stroll as a constructors champion, but it's definitely possible if 26 comes around and they're doing
constructors for the team, yes. Lance Stroll as a world drivers champion.
Not with Alonso next to him in the car.
Nope.
No way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see. But huge news. Really excited for the team. And good for Adrian Newey getting that bag. For VCARB, one of the last two open seats on the grid next year. It's yet to be announced. Helmut Marko has been hinting at Liam Lawson's future in the past few weeks. So maybe we'll be hearing an announcement here shortly. What do you think between Danny and Liam, which seem to be the
Liam, 1,000%. I don't think Danny's going to have a seat next year.
I'm interested in how confident you sound there.
It just feels like there's just been a lot of negative press around Danny and people are kind of like bagging on him. And it's almost felt like, I don't know, like I'm getting the vibes that he's somewhat resigned to the fact that he doesn't have a seat next year. And Liam is like this shiny new ticket and Helmut Marko has been talking him up. So I've always wanted Liam over Danny and it's just feeling more and more sure to me.
Yeah, it feels like objectively wrong decision in terms of talent
to sign
Danny over Liam.
Yeah.
Especially when you think about, we've talked about this before, the whole purpose of VCARB as a junior team is to develop.
Exactly. Drivers, yes.
Which Danny is not.
Yeah.
But when you think about everything else Danny brings and you think about it as a business decision, I think that becomes harder. And
so then why wouldn't they have done like Danny and Liam?
Because Yuki's really doing really well this season.
I know, but is Yuki really going to be a Red Bull driver?
I don't know. Not with Helmut Marko around, but maybe.
Exactly.
I don't know. It's hard to tell. But yeah, I hope that Liam gets signed. It would definitely be sad to see Danny go, but
he'll still be around in one way or another. For Williams, okay, there was an awkward mix-up at the track at the beginning of this week. The race organizers put up Logan's poster in the garage instead of his recent replacement,
in Franco Baku?
Colapinto. Yeah.
After they spelled his name wrong at the prior race, they spelled it Colapinto.
Yeah, poor guy can't forget it. So we're excited to see Franco race again this weekend after he already got his first race under his belt. I mean, Baku's going to be a challenge, but it's actually a really challenging doubleheader to head into, which is Baku, which is a very challenging circuit, and then Singapore, which is like incredibly physically challenging. So look out for that. And I think just a fun race, fun fact that I want to throw in about Williams here is that for this race in 2016, the first race, when Bottas was driving with Williams, he recorded the highest top speed in a race weekend during quali. He got to 234 miles per hour on that straight.
Whoa. So
Williams has great straight line speed. We've always seen it.
For Haas, K-Mag, as a reminder, is sitting out this weekend's race due to his race ban. He got 12 points on his super license, which means you have to sit out. We will see Ollie Berman, though, making an early debut with the team. Can't wait to see what he brings. There's a lot of pressure on his shoulders, especially after hopping in that Ferrari in Saudi this year and scoring points. Now, the Haas car is not a Ferrari, but still high hopes for him. And even though he'll be with Haas next season, since he's with Ferrari right now, Ferrari did have to give approval for Ollie to step up from his role in Formula 2 for this weekend. And if we remember the last time we saw him race, last minute fill in for Carlos and Jeddah after the emergency appendicitis surgery, he had a bit more notice this time around. So let's hope that works in his favor. But P7, I believe, was his finish. That's, I don't know. I don't know if I'll say that's what he has to beat, but let's hope that he can do well.
Yeah. Well, he's in a Haas too, so you can't do apples to apples. For Alpine, the news for the team this week is related to the cost cap. So apparently the FIA announced that Honda and Alpine made procedural breaches with the F1 power unit manufacturer cost cap. It's been clarified that they did not supersede the cost cap. They didn't overspend, but like procedurally, they did not follow the rules. They are complying with the FIA to fix everything, and it looks like they will not be getting in trouble. But that was the latest news with the team. I think for this year's race, last year they finished P14 and P15, so I think this year they just want to see if they can break the top 10 and pick up their points, keep it up in the midfield.
Definitely. For Stake, still no announcement as to who will be taking the second seat at the team next year. Could be anyone's guess. One thing people are talking about is the championship battle heating up in F2 and the possibility of yet another rookie being pulled up into F1 next year. The big name here is Gabriel Bortoleto, the McLaren junior driver currently in P2. Other than that, the big thing the team will be gunning for is a single point. No one wants to finish in a pointsless season, so let's see. But the last team to finish an F1 season without scoring a single point was Haas when Nikita Mazepin and Mick Schumacher were on the team. So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Okay, hot takes, Tiggy. Tell me what you got.
All right. I think off the back of that, I'm going to predict that there's a Bottas signing for the remaining open Stake Sauber seat. And I think I'm going to go with, podium-wise, this feels tough to say, but I'm going to say no McLarens on podium.
Damn. Wow. But I like it. We're here for the drama.
It's hot. I'm
going to say very specifically that Checo will finish P2.
Okay.
Don't know what that means for the rest of the podium, and that Oscar will outperform Lando. And that Ollie Berman is going to get points.
Whoa. That's hot.
Making it so hard for myself because there's no way I'm going to hit all three, but maybe it's easier because I'll at least hit one of them and I can gloat a third of the way.
Let's hope that we're all wrong about all of this except maybe Checo P2, because that would be fun.
Yeah.
And Bottas signing. All right. With that, we're so excited for Baku. The race will be at a crisp 4 a.m. my time, so that's going to be fun. But
I'll be in Europe, so it'll be beautiful timing for me to watch.
We'll catch you on the other side for a recap, but thank you so much for joining us.
Bye.